dividing and conquering. To begin our deliberations on this challenging gospel text this morning, I wanted to, as a public service, to share with you some actual warning labels that you can find on products. Just like the companies that place these warnings on products to avoid lawsuits, I want to share them with you so that you can't blame me if you make the same mistakes. After all, you've been warned. For example, on a hair dryer, it actually says as a warning, do not use in the shower. I'm not sure how you wash and dry your hair at the same time, but so be it. On a curling iron are these words. Oh, this is scary. For external use only. On a toner cartridge for your printer, you will find these words. Do not eat toner. On a can of pepper spray, there appears the cautionary words. May irritate eyes. I hope so if I ever need pepper spray. On a frisbee, of all things, it says may contain small parts. I don't know how you eat a frisbee, but anyway. On a toilet cleaning brush, oh, it says do not use orally. This appears, it says, please keep out, not anything else, out of children. Do you know where that's found? On a package of butcher knives. Yeah. Where do you think you find these words? Warning, has been found to cause cancer in mice. That's right, it's found on a package of rat poison. And on a package of Lydol relief tablets for PMS, it reads, warning, do not use if you have prostate problems. There's something really wrong in these corporate offices. On a shipment of hammers, there appears, not for human consumption. On a Swedish chainsaw, we read, do not attempt to stop blade with your hand. And one of my absolute favorites is on the package of Nitol, where we read this morning, you can probably guess, may cause drowsiness. Arm & Hammer kitty litter is also helpful by putting this on their product, safe for use around pets. And finally, where do you think I found these words? Warning, may contain nuts. It's on a package of peanuts, that's right. Why do companies find it necessary to put such ridiculous warnings on their products? Are there actual people out there who believe it's a wise thing to stop a chainsaw blade with their hand? Are there people out there who look at their toner cartridge for the laser printer and say to themselves, gee, I wonder what kind of wine goes with a magenta cartridge. Come on. Are people that stupid? Well, it appears they are. Otherwise, manufacturers wouldn't find it necessary to write out instructions and safety manuals that are longer than War and Peace. People will try almost anything out of curiosity or in an attempt to use something for a purpose that it was never intended. Like one I read on a microwave. Not for use for drying pets. Who puts Fluffy in the microwave to dry? Well, guess what? Jesus did not think that we were very astute thinkers either. This whole 12th chapter of Luke has in it a tone that communicates that Jesus is stating the obvious to us. That what he's worrying about and urging people to see is as plain as the nose on our face. In the section I just read for you, Jesus is placing a huge warning label on his ministry, as if to say, you can't say, I did not warn you. The ministry, this ministry that Jesus represents, that he talks about, is going to be tougher than we ever thought we were prepared to accept. The work and calling of Christ on our lives is revolutionary. It will shake the very foundations of our lives. In encountering Christ and in following him, our lives will never, ever be the same. If we follow Jesus, we need to read the warning label. Have you ever paid attention to those television ads for medications? The ads that show people living such great and happy lives because they took a certain little pill. It looks so hopeful, doesn't it? It carries such promise. That is, until the end of the commercial, what do? They tell you the side effects. Side effects may include heartburn, diarrhea, dry mouth, headaches, leg cramps, etc., etc., etc. I may be wrong here, but the cure almost seems worse than the disease. Jesus is warning us, if you follow me, you will face trouble. There are side effects to experiencing the grace that Christ offers to you. Some people, maybe most people, will discover that faith carries with it consequences to our families, to our employers, to our neighbors, and of course to ourselves. The joy, peace, and love we experience in knowing Christ will be misunderstood by some of those who are closest to us. Families will be torn apart because one member becomes a believer and all the rest reject Jesus. Those we work with will misunderstand our ethical and moral behavior on the job. Those closest to us may charge us with being judgmental or not being one of the crowd. People who will still live in darkness will not understand our love and desire to remain in the light of Jesus. They may even grow to hate us, including, as Jesus suggests, our own family members. If you don't believe me, there are countless stories in the Bible and in this modern day of believers who paid the ultimate price for their faith. Every year in November, the church commemorates a Sunday called the Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, to remind us of those who are, even today, being martyred for their faith. Jesus' point here is that he claims to be stating the obvious to anyone who wants to listen. These persecutions, these divisions in family, are to be expected. In fact, should be concerned if they don't happen. Jesus reminds the crowd that they have no trouble watching the sky and knowing it's going to rain. So why cannot we not accept that trouble follows the faith? The issue really isn't how we avoid trouble because of our faith, but rather what kind of attitude are we going to have when we run into scary situations while we have. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a movie called Signs. It's an interesting little movie. We meet the Hess family that lives in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The Hess clan wake up one morning and find a 500-foot crop circle in the middle of their cornfield. Graham Hess, played by Mel Gibson, and his two children watch the TV news report with growing alarm as crop circles begin to appear all over the world. They are also seen on TV disturbing news footage about 14 unidentified lights in the night sky over Mexico City. They conclude, like the rest of the world, that an alien invasion is imminent. Graham Hess's brother Merle turns to Graham, who was the older brother, who was also a former pastor of and who has lost his faith due to the untimely death of his beloved wife, and asks his brother for some comfort. Some people think that this is the end of the world, Merrill says. Is it true? Do you think it could be? And Graham says flatly, yes. Alarmed by his brother's response, Merle questions further, how can you say that? That wasn't the answer you wanted, he says. Full of fear, Merle demands, couldn't you pretend to be like you used to be? Referring, of course, to when Graham was an active minister. Give me some comfort. Graham responds this way. People break down into two groups. What they experience, when they experience something lucky, group number one sees it as more than luck. It sees it as a coincidence. They see it as a sign, evidence that there is someone up there watching over them. Group number two sees it as just pure luck. A happy turn of chance. You can be sure that people in group number two are looking at those 14 lights down in Mexico and in a very suspicious way. For them, their situation is now 50-50. That could be good. But deep down, they feel that whatever happens, they're on their own. And that fills them with fear. There's a whole lot of people in group number one. When they see those 14 lights, they're looking at a miracle. And deep down they feel that whatever's going to happen, there will be someone to help them. And that fills them with hope. So you have to ask yourself, what type of person are you? Are you the kind that sees signs and sees miracles? Or do you believe that people just get lucky? Look at the question this way. Is it possible that there are no coincidences? You know, this character played by Mel Gibson hits on the nail on the head. Is what's happening to you right now or any time in your life just a coincidence? Is it just bad luck or good luck or something or someone else? Or is someone or something else working in your life? Is your faith only valuable to you as long as the sun shines and things are going well? Because Jesus is assuring us today that on all of us, rain is going to fall. And some of it will be related to following Him. Could it be that claiming faith makes some issues in life more difficult to cope with? Why am I sick? Why is my marriage failing? Why can I not get a job? Why does my neighbor, who is a scoundrel, seem to get all the breaks? Well, if you don't believe in God, you're on your own. If God does not exist, there's no meaning in any situation you are facing in your life. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, we say. All of life's significant moments, good or bad, are, without faith in God, simply a matter of randomness, genetics, sociology, or politics. Can you live with that? On the other hand, Jesus is saying that faith is pretty hard to live with as well. If we claim to believe in God, then why would God let these terrible things happen to me? That was the issue that Graham Hess faced when his wife died and he couldn't hold on to his faith anymore. Isn't it funny that we never complain to God when good things happen to us? We don't even stop sometimes to thank Him for getting that promotion at work or something wonderful happening to us. But boy, we sure like to blame Him when things go wrong. either approach to life is difficult. But let me argue, as Jesus is leading us, that if you truly think all of life is random, just a scary series of events, that some unseen forces of fate or luck or whatever you want to believe in determines our destiny, then what hope do you have? Everything in life is guided by this belief. The belief that uncertain and without purpose and, of course, being unfair comes from a lack of faith, lack of hope. There is no ground to complain or pat ourselves on the back because, well, everything's just random. We know this to be true. The signs of a purposeless life are all around us. It's portrayed in music. It's portrayed in art, in movies, in television. It's on the nightly newscast every night. Without a point to life, why should we care about anything? Why worry about violence among teens or poverty or an Ebola crisis in Africa or a host of other problems? Without purpose to life, we could just shrug our shoulders and say, well, I guess they weren't as lucky as me. Are you content with that? Can you live with this approach to life? Can we not see the warning signs that reveal the emptiness of people's lives? Does our faith have anything to say at all in the face of these signs? Or we just crumple the moment down into something that just happens? You know, the Apostle Paul, whose life was one of privilege and power, was so completely turned around when he met Jesus. He went from being Judaism's shining knight to its most despised outcast. In his missionary journeys, he was lashed, he was beaten, he was insulted, he was threatened, he was shipwrecked, and all manner of indignity was committed against him, all because he claimed to follow Jesus. So what did Paul have to say about this? Was he just unlucky? Did he shake his fist at God? Not at all. In fact, while sitting in a prison cell of all places, Paul writes these words in the Philippians. I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. Why do we let life defeat us so much? Jesus warned us that there would be days like this. The signs of trouble surrounding God's faithful people are everywhere. I guess, as some people have, you could just chuck your faith away and, well, you could soak in a corner and just write it off as bad luck. Perhaps if you choose, you can embrace a choice that sees nothing as a coincidence and learn to live as Paul did. A number of years ago, Norman Cousins wrote an editorial for the Saturday Review in which he reported a conversation he had on a trip to India. He was talking to a Hindu priest named Satish Prasad. And the man said he wanted to come to our country to work as a missionary among the Americans. Now, Cousins assumed that what he meant was he wanted to come to America and convert the Americans to the Hindu religion. But when he asked, Prasad said, oh no, I want to convert them to the Christian religion. Christianity cannot survive in the abstract, he said. It needs not membership, but it needs believers. The people in your country may claim they believe in Christianity, but from what I read at a distance, Christianity is more a custom than anything else. I would ask that either you accept the teachings of Jesus in your everyday life and in the affairs of your nation, or stop invoking his name as a sanction for everything you do. I want to help save Christianity for Christians. Content with whatever God sends my way. It will not be easy. No one, not even Jesus, said it would be easy. But it's the only way. Hear me again. It is the only way for you and I to find meaning, purpose, and hope in this fractured world. It's time to stop being hypocritical and singing and speaking about how wonderful, caring, and merciful God is, and then displaying to the world in the face of tragedy that our faith has no depth and no strength. The world is watching us. It's looking for a sign. Will it see in us the power of Christ, or a people whose faith is nothing more than empty words? Choice is ours. For we have been warned that the journey of faith is no insulation from the harsh realities of life, and in fact may make things harder for us. But in the end, when our Master will come, when he will inspect our household and reward his servants who have truly lived faithful lives, I hope we can be counted on.